I know. So when you get your hearing back, go ahead and grab your seats. Sorry about that. As we're grabbing seats, wanted to let you know God answered kindly one of the prayers we've been praying. We've got several different things I've asked you to pray about, but just an update. We sold the bus this week. And in selling the bus, it allowed us, so there was money that the church kind of took a hit on because of the daycare and needing to pay some money there. So it paid us back. So the daycare funding got done and closed. And then we still have $5,000 that we can put toward the Hope Kids building. So remember those doors that we want to start working toward? So we've got some money to go over there. So really excited that we got to sell the bus this week, and that is over. Well, think for a second. It's maybe a weird thought. Some of you guys can just look over for this thought, but think about your parents. So in your head, right now, think about your parents. For some of us, this brings warm thoughts, maybe a smile to our face and our heart. Others, there's sadness, or fear, or anguish, or bitterness. One of the difficult things about preaching on the fifth commandment, which is to honor your father and mother, which we're covering today, is that we all have different experiences. Some come from very stable, encouraging, godly homes. Others have been grossly mistreated, even abused by your parents. Some of us have okay but not great relationships with our parents. All of us fall somewhere on the spectrum in talking about our parents, if our parents are still alive, if we ever knew our parents. But God gave us the fifth commandment to honor our father and mother. God showed up and talked in Exodus 20 directly to the people of Israel after they'd been pulled out of slavery, and He rescued them through the Red Sea, and He spoke to them and said, honor your father and mother. And guess what? God knew, even in saying that, that the people He's speaking to have different experiences with their family, with their parents. And yet He still said, honor your father and your mother. Today we move to kind of the second tablet of the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments are about vertical things, about God. How do we love God? The second six are more horizontal. How do we love one another? That's why we've entitled this series, Love God and Love Others. And before we dive into this fifth commandment, we need to remember, as I keep reminding us, the different uses of God's law. There are three uses of God's law. The first use is to reveal God's holiness and our sinfulness. God's holiness and our sinfulness. We can't actually keep God's holy commandments, so we need a Savior who keeps them for us. It reveals His holiness and goodness and standard in our sinfulness. The second use of the law is to restrict sin. As we've joked many times, I'm really glad you weren't murdered today. That's good. Like, it's good that the law restricts sin. God writes the law on our hearts. And then the third use of the law, which is the primary grid or lens from which we're looking at the law in this series, is that it's this. It's a guide for believers. How do I love God? How do I love one another? That's the thing that we're looking at, the guide for believers that the Ten Commandments shows us. So as we head toward this fifth commandment, please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to first read, actually, Exodus 20, but it'll be on the screen if you can go ahead and put that up there. But then we're going to head into Ephesians chapter 6 and read that and these instructions. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Here's Exodus 20, verse 12. It's up on the screen. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that Yahweh, the Lord, your God, is giving you. Ephesians 6, this is all God's Word, the Creator speaking to us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we enter this horizontal commandment, Lord, I pray that you would instruct our hearts today, that we would have soft hearts to hear from you of how we are called to honor our father and mother, how we are called to desire this of both our children and how we think about it with our parents. Father, I pray you would instruct us in that way. Guard my mouth from error and let us have soft hearts toward your word, toward your leading by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. God's Word shows us in the very first horizontal commandment here, point number one, the value of family. The value of family. As we transition to this kind of second tablet of the Ten Commandments, which just to say, we don't really know if it's the second tablet of the Ten Commandments. I'm just kind of using that as there's two sections. But as we transition to more the horizontal of the Ten Commandments, just like the first commandment is, have no other gods before me. And many say, well, that first commandment summarizes the other four. This fifth commandment summarizes the last five or the last six. Honor your father and mother, many commentators believe, is the beginning of understanding how you love your neighbor as yourself. It's the beginning of understanding how you love others. That family is the primary institution in which we learn how to relate to others. Family is the primary institution that we learn how to relate to others. It is the place that we learn the authority structure. Family is the place where we learn that we are called to submit to those over us. Augustine said it this way. I love this quote. If anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare? If anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he'll spare? So we find that the family structure speaks to more than just the family structure. It speaks to how we will be subject to others in authority over us. Our relationships with mom and dad deeply impact all other relationships. We learn submission to authority by submitting to dad when he tells us to pick up our toys. We learn submission to mom when she tells us to do our chores. See, family teaches us, and family teaches us this big lesson. Life is not about me. Life is not about me. I'm part of a larger story and a larger structure. I'm part of a family. And a lot of families make up a community, a town, a city. A lot of towns or cities make up a county. A lot of counties make up a state. A lot of states make up a nation. I begin to realize that how I treat my parents and how my friends treat their parents and their friends treat their parents and how all children and teenagers and all of us treat our parents affects the entire society. The Bible says and reveals that God cares a lot about family. He told Adam and Eve before sin came into the world, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Here's what you need to do, Adam and Eve. You multiply and you subdue. You multiply and you subdue. Scripture says in Psalm 127, 3 and 4, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." This passage is so countercultural to our individualistic society in America. The most countercultural thing we may do today is put down our phone or social media intake and pick up a child and pray over them and love them and encourage them. Whether it's our child or one other that you have relationship with, and please not some random child at Walmart, that would be weird, but like a child you're in relationship with, your friendship with, the parents would be okay with it. The most countercultural thing you may do is turn off the television and turn on your child's imagination towards the massive God that we serve, who created all things. The most countercultural thing we may do is take a walk with our child and ask their forgiveness for the anger we expressed to them last night. Completely countercultural. And teaching our kids that we too are subject to authority. We have a God that we are accountable to. The most countercultural thing we may do if we don't have kids in the home, and maybe a single person or a grandparent that don't have kids in the home, is go forward toward those who do and have a meal and engage the kids. "Hey, what did you learn in Hope Kids today? What are you learning right now? How can I pray for you?" The most countercultural thing you might do is thank God for the pregnancy you're surprised by. I've had to do that several times. The most countercultural thing that you might do today is value family. Because God values family. God values family. Why? Because it was His idea. And so when we come to the fifth commandment, we need to understand this value of family. And so when we come to the fifth commandment, we hear God's value in the top 10 things He says when He says, "Honor your father and mother." He's not just randomly like, "Well, what are other relationships? Number 5, what should I do? Honor your parents." No, this is intricately woven into how God made society. So point number 2 is honor your father and mother. Honoring your father and mother, that word honor is kavid in the Hebrew. It speaks of something weighty or heavy. Honor is showing due authority, reverence, gravity, glory is kind of mixed in there. It's showing that authority, reverence, gravity, honor toward parents. And friends, this can be for children that are 5 years old or children that are 55 years old. That we are to show kavid to our father and kavid to our mother. It's honor. In Romans chapter 13, the Apostle Paul lists how all the second tablet of the commandments, these horizontal commandments, can be summarized as love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says in Romans 13 verse 10, "Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." Friends, honoring your father and mother can be summarized in this way: love them. Love them. Love them with the grace and power of the gospel. Do them no wrong, is what Romans 13 says. For adult children, there is a difference between respecting every decision your parents have done and honoring your parents. Some of us have had very difficult situations with our father or mother or both. Our father or mother might have sinned gravely against us. This passage doesn't say we're to respect every decision, allow them to sin against us. allow them to go apart from God. No, we're not saying just like put things under the floor mat and ignore things. But it does say we're to honor them. We're to love them. We're to do them no wrong, even if they've done us wrong. Honoring father and mother is going to look different in different seasons. We know this. So we're going to walk through different seasons. First is this, honoring in the first 10 years. Now, there's very few people under 10 in here. But this is still helpful for us to understand. Honoring in the first 10, I'd say 10 to 12 years maybe. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul quotes the fifth commandment about honoring father and mother, speaks to the children. In Ephesians 6, 1 that we read earlier says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." What are children to do? They're to obey. They're to obey their parents. Why? The emphasis here can be in the Lord. In the Lord. You obey in the Lord. You obey mom and dad not because they're perfect, not because they're sinless. You obey mom and dad because you want to obey God. We've used the phrase in our home, and I think we took it from some book somewhere that we read years ago. Obey all the way, right away, with a happy heart. Or we kind of changed that, tweak that. Obey all the way, right away, with a willing heart. All the way. Obedience is all the way. It's not half-hearted obedience. It's not partial obedience. It's full, complete obedience. That's what we expect of our kids. It's right away obedience. Understanding that delayed obedience is disobedience. If we're telling our kids, you know, I'm going to let you obey, or I want you to obey, eat that food or whatever. 1, 2, 2.5, 2.75. We're teaching them delayed obedience, which is called disobedience. They are not honoring you, and they're not honoring their God, and we're training them all the way, right away, with a willing heart. Our heart shows by how we obey. So we expect our children to obey without groaning and whining, and which happens, right? But that's not obedience. So we train our kids to honor and obey the Lord, and they are to do it unto the Lord. All right, honoring in the teen years. Teenagers, you ready for this? Teens are called in the same way to honor and obey your parents. It's to be done in the Lord. What does that mean? It means to value the input of your parents. It means to not roll your eyes. It means to not talk back. But here's what it also means. Do talk. Teenagers, talk to your parents about what's going on in your life. I was asking one of my girls permission to share this morning. One of my teen girls, when she's upset with me, wants to go away and not have me around. One of my other teen girls wants to go away and then I pursue her. I didn't know there was a difference in teenage girls. They had to tell me. We had to talk about it. And it was so helpful for one of my teenage girls to sit down with me. Dad, here's what I'm thinking when I'm upset with you. Here's what I want you to do. I was like, okay, do that. Like, it was helpful. Teenagers and parents, let's communicate, not in the heat of the moment, but outside of the moment, and let's talk. We want to help. We want to relate. We want to be on the same team. To honor Jesus, that is our goal. It's super important. And I just want to say how encouraged I am by the teenagers here at Risen Hope. So encouraged by the teens here at Risen Hope. Teens, you prioritize your relationship with your parents. And it is such an honor to see, and it's so countercultural. You prioritize serving the local church, and we are proud of you, and we pray much for you. We are not fearful and just trying to get through the teenage years. No, we want to launch you out on mission. Like the arrows in the hands of a warrior. We're going to shoot you out on gospel mission. Because we have a great Savior, And you know, many of the revivals that God has sparked in our world, in history, do you know where those started? The teenagers and the college students. We pray that God will set this world on fire and that He would use you. We are so proud of you. Teenagers, keep honoring your parents. Repent to them where you need to repent. Obey your parents. Repent when you're not obeying. And as a dad of teens, we promise to repent when we sin against you. Right, parents of teenagers? We need to humble ourselves and repent when we get angry, when we get impatient. We want to honor Christ as well. Honoring in your 20s. If you are in your 20s, here is how you honor your parents. Launch out. Launch out like arrows. That doesn't mean you necessarily are going to be leaving home, but you are launching out in a maturity of adulthood. Take responsibility for yourself. Might have some conversations after this. That may mean you're in college. That may mean you're in your first job. It may mean you need to live at home for a season. But don't make your parents pay for you. You are an adult. Don't make them do that. And don't assume that they should. Now, parents, if you want to be sweet and kind in this way and you say, you know, I'm fine with that and you guys work it out, cool. But don't assume it, young adults. Don't assume and presume that your parents should pay for an adult in their home. They shouldn't have to. You're an adult. So for those in their 20s, don't assume and don't presume, but take responsibility. And let me give one caveat here we need to hit. If you are physically, mentally delayed, this may look different. If you have children that are physically, mentally delayed, that's going to look different. So we're not having broad sweeping statements here. This is something parent and child need to talk through, need to think through together. We just want to encourage you to launch out if you're in your 20s. Honoring in your 30s and 40s. Now this is that time when you've got to balance the idea of honoring father and mother, like teaching children, if you have kids, to honor parents, their parents, which is you, but also having aging parents. It's an interesting time. And let me say to parents that still have children in your home, one of the greatest ways you teach your children to honor their father and mother is the way you speak to your spouse. It is going to be really hard for your parents to honor the husband if mom's always backslapping them when he's not around. Like talking bad about. And it's going to be really hard for the children to honor the mom if dad's always speaking ill of her. Guys, our marriage matters significantly. How we talk to our spouse when our kids are around is significant. Marriage comes first. Children are welcome guests. I'm dead serious about that. That's a biblical principle. And if you're in your 30s and 40s, honoring your parents is going to be, and this is you in your 30s and 40s, and you're trying to honor your own parents. One of the best ways to do that is learning from those who are a season ahead of you. Learning from those who now have aging parents and they're trying to figure this out and you're around them. That's one of the great things about church family that's multi-generational is we who are in 30s and 40s can learn from those who are ahead of us. And like, what's that like to have parents that are aging? How do we do that? What should we do? Let's have those conversations now so that when we're in our 50s and 60s and our parents are getting older and older, that we know what to do. We know what that looks like. We've seen it. Next category, honoring in your 50s and up. If you're like 50 years old, I do not mean offense by that. Just to let you know that I categorize like that whole age group. I'm just telling you, I mean no offense. All right, in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus drills the Pharisees for teaching people that they can keep their money and tell their parents, well, that money is devoted to God rather than providing for their aging parents. You know what Jesus calls that? Hypocrisy. He quotes Isaiah and says, they honor God with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Taking care of elderly parents is part of gospel living. It's part of honoring father and mother. And let me just say that I have learned so much by the time and energy and sacrifice of members here at Risen Hope. That you've spent in loving your parents, in honoring Yahweh, showing the sacrifice of the Savior. Watching Dennis and Marie Bills with Marie's mom. Jim and Sharon Hawkins with Jim's mom. Colin and Susie Papke. The sacrifice for Susie's mom. The Sanchez's, the Crosby's. I mean, the list goes on. Of people who are walking through. How do we do this? How do we help? How do we honor our father and mother? Your example encourages us and we learn from it. So thank you for your example. And let me speak for a moment to the grandparents in here. It's a unique and neat season. Every grandparent I talk to, they're like, I love this. I get to be with these kids and I get to give them back. It's fantastic. It's like, that sounds really fun sometimes. One of the greatest ways that your grandchildren can honor their father and mother is by you not undermining mom and dad. Be careful, grandparents, to not undermine your children with the grandchildren. Come alongside your kids. Help them, love them, pray for them, but speak respectfully to the grandkids about your children. You remember parenting's hard. Come alongside your kids, love them, and come alongside your grandkids. And friends, let's just get this with all the understanding of honoring your father and mother. This is completely countercultural. Families being close and tight-knit is countercultural. Young children respecting and obeying their parents is countercultural. Teenagers wanting to honor mom and dad is countercultural. 20-year-olds launching out and taking responsibility for their lives is countercultural. Those in their 30s and 40s loving their children but caring about their aging children and learning from others is countercultural. Those in their 50s sacrificing, loving, honoring their elderly parents is countercultural. We begin to feel how the fifth commandment really does teach us how to love others. Like that this commandment, this fifth one, then goes into all the others of how do we love our neighbor as ourself. Learning to honor our parents is good for us. Now I love how kids are motivated. Children are motivated by reward, right? So when you're wanting to potty train your kid, just do a sticker chart. Like, who really cares about stickers? Well, your child does. And so they will work toward, you know, potty training or something like that. Children are motivated by sticker charts or an allowance or ice cream or something like that. They are motivated. Why are they motivated? Because God made them that way. And it's exactly what Paul brings up when he refers to the fifth commandment. The third point is this. This is the last point today, is blessing and reward. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well for you and that you may live long in the land. So there's blessing and reward for honoring father and mother. Well, does that mean that if you obey, you're going to live a long life? Is that what Paul is trying to say here in Ephesians chapter 6? I heard a story from Dr. Russell Moore that when he was a kid, he's a little kid sitting in a church service, and the pastor was preaching on the fifth commandment, and he called out one of the elderly members of the church which is very unwise, and said, "Mrs. Doyle, how old are you?" Can you just imagine that? And Mrs. Doyle responded, "I'm 92. And this pastor turns to the kids and says, "See, kids, Mrs. Doyle must have really obeyed her parents, for she has a long life." The problem was that Mrs. Doyle was one of the meanest ladies in the church. And all the kids knew it. And they're like, how does this all work? Russell Moore later said he just wondered, like, can I obey my parents just to, like, get to middle age? Like, a little bit of obedience and, like, I'll just live, like, 40s or 50s? Like, how's this work? Is God, like, negotiating here? No, I love Kevin DeYoung's quote when speaking about the promise of living life in the land. He says this, "The writers of the Bible were not dumb." Let's remember that. The writers of the Bible were not dumb. They lived in a real world where people died. It wasn't like everyone who was really good lived to be 100 years old and everyone who was really bad died early. Living life in the land was more than just chronology. The phrase really has to do with abundant life. If you want to enjoy the fullness of the blessings that God has for you in the promised land, you'll listen to your mom and your dad. God spoke seriously about the benefits and blessing of honoring mother and father. If you want to live an abundant, blessed life, honor your parents. It's right there in the text. But God also speaks seriously about the consequences of disobedience. In Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21, it says this, be on the screen. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of his city, "This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. The rebellious child, this is probably not an 8-year-old, just saying. This looks like maybe teenager in the 20s, he's a glutton and drunkard. But here's what it's saying, his sin of disobeying his parents doesn't just affect him. It affects the family, and in taking it to the elders of the society, it affects the entire society. Sin always harms. Sin harms and has further reaches and more effects than we often think of. Now, this is in the theocracy, the government system of the ancient Israel, and the rebellious son would not live long in the land. Why? Because he's dead. The ultimate punishment for disobeying parents. Now, we don't live with these civil laws of Israel, but we must equally understand there is harm to that son and to that family and to society when we live in rebellion against mom and dad. Rebellion is serious. In Romans chapter 1, Paul is speaking of those who exchanged the glory of God for a lie. Those who are running towards sin, who are practicing shameless acts. He lists some like homosexuality, just false worship, rebellion. And he has this vast and grave list of sin. Let's look at it. It'll be on the screen. It says, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Friends, disobedience to parents is on the list of every other type of rebellion against God. Why? Because it is sin. It is evil. And without exception, every child I know and every child that has grown up has disobeyed their parents, have failed to keep this commandment, and deserves to die. Deserves to be taken out and stoned. But there is one who kept this commandment perfectly. One who was not rebellious. One who was not disobedient to his mother and father. One who, though he honored his father and mother, was still taken and delivered over to the city officials. Not by his mom and dad, but by the religious leaders. And he was publicly mocked and beaten. Not for his sin. Not for his rebellion. Not for his disobedience. But for ours. Jesus Christ lived a perfect life on behalf of rebellious sons and daughters. Jesus Christ died a substitutionary death on behalf of rebellious sons and daughters. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, conquered sin, death, and Satan on behalf of rebellious sons and daughters. Through Jesus, rebellious sons and daughters are declared righteous. As righteous sons and daughters, we're adopted into God's family, calling Him Father. We're loved fully by this Heavenly Father. So we submit all of our lives to Him. We live the abundant life, the life lived in the presence of the Father, looking forward to eternity with Him. And friends, if there are those today who you're continuing in your rebellion, not just to your parents, but to God. Friends, let me plead with you, turn from your rebellion, turn from your sin, and turn to Christ. For you deserve to die. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, and that only comes through Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus offers you new life. We would love to talk to you more about what new life is in Jesus Christ. And as we close, Christopher, you can come on up. I want us to consider one passage. This passage blew me away this week in talking through what it means to honor mother and father. In John 19, it says this. So the soldiers divided Jesus' garments. Get this picture. Jesus is on the cross, bloodied, beaten, weary, about to die. The soldiers divided Jesus' garments, but standing by the cross of Jesus were His mother and His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved standing by, He said to His mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then He said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Even when paying for the sins of his people, even in paying for the sins of my rebellion against my father and my mother, even in paying the sin of all of us, Jesus kept honoring His mother. He kept caring for His mother. Let us be a people who love God by honoring our father and mother. Kevin DeYoung gives four words of application. to help us in walking out honoring our father and mother. Here's the first word. Yes. When you talk to your parents, it's a call to say, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. We're called to be respectful in our attitude toward those in authority over us, those who've provided for us. Children that live in the home, you're still called to obedience. Second word is this, thank you. Thank you. We need to be grateful for God's sovereignty, His sovereignty in putting us in the family He put us in, even if it's been difficult. God sovereignly has shaped and molded you by putting you in the family you're in. Google tells us that the cost of raising one child from birth to 17 is $233,000 without college. Children, thank your parents. They pour a lot out and they sacrifice a lot. Older children, we need to thank our parents. To thank our parents for we're even sitting here because of the time and sacrifice and energy that they have poured out. So yes, thank you. Third thing to say is, I'm sorry. If you have dishonored your father or your mother, it's time to say, I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? One of my hardest people to repent to in my life is my mom. I don't know why. They're just like my hard heart and my pride. And just like, don't look at me like it's a little kid anymore. You know, I don't know what's going on. But it's one of the hardest times. Like, will you forgive me? Like, it's hard. I don't know if it's just me. I've heard other people, grown adults, it's like, repenting to your parents is tough. Let's move forward in the humility of Jesus Christ that He gives us, saying, I'm sorry. Even if they haven't repented to us, if they've done us wrong. And the fourth is, hello. As our parents age, it is a blessing for them to hear from us. They love to talk to their kids and their grandkids. They love to hear how you're doing. Take time to call your mom or dad. Take time to say hello. Take time to tell them you love them. Yahweh met with His people. He spoke from the mountain. And one of the things He instructed His people was to honor their father and mother. We're going to close with one of the greatest ways you can honor your father and mother, and that's by praying for them. If your parents are alive, pray for them. If your parents have passed away, I'd encourage you to pray for others who you know have difficult relationships with their parents. Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's a friend of yours. Take time to pray for your parents, and that's how we're going to close today. So let's take time right now to pray for our father and mother, to think through how can we move forward in saying yes and thank you and I'm sorry and hello. Let's pray now.